So today, the title for today's message is, I am a child of God. Capital A-M. So now I want to talk to you today about something that for some reason in today's culture just can't seem to figure out. Or they try and cause confusion about this topic. And I'm talking about your identity. Who are you and what defines you? What is your identity? Now, those are questions that many people struggle to answer today, especially the body of Christ. I'm not saying every believer, but the church at large has an identity crisis, and the Lord wants to address that today. There is an attack on the identity of God's people. Too often, people base their identity on what they do, from their jobs to their career. Perhaps it's your role in life, whether you're a mother or you're a father or a grandparent, you're a sister or you're a brother. You get the picture. And a lot of people in today's culture, you hear people allowing themselves to be defined by a label, even the people of God. But labels, I want to clarify, they are something that man has come up with. And all too often you hear people say, oh, I'm ADD or I have OCD, I'm depressed, I'm handicapped, whatever it is. You know, the list goes on and on and on. There are so many labels that the world puts on us and that we tend to put on ourselves as well. But in today's world, the problem is we throw out these labels as if they clarify who we are. And maybe even there are maybe our most defining marks, and we use these as descriptors as a way of helping people to keep their expectation of us in order. The problem is when we use one of these labels to describe ourselves, they often give us our deepest sense of identity. We begin to believe the lie that the label defines us. And we shift from believing that the label is something that we face to believing it is someone we are. And this sets an expectation of an indefinite future with a predetermined outcome. The truth is that God intends for all believers, to find their identity in Christ. If you're a Christian, which is a Christ follower, somebody who's accepted Christ into your life and as your Savior, and you are following and walking with Him, it's not just something that you say, oh yeah, I know of God. You have to have accepted Him into your life. If you are a Christian, your identity encompasses all that abundance of being a beloved child of God. But in today's culture, it's so consumed with discovering your individual identity. There's personality tests, dream assessments, and all kinds of quizzes. And if you pay attention, there's even on TV ads, music, the music that people listen to, movies, they are bombarding you with ideas and thoughts, trying to persuade you into believing that you are something that you are not. Or even they're trying to make you forget who you are. It seems like everyone is searching for something to tell them who they are, where they belong, and how they relate to the world. Now, there is an illusion and there is a confusion that the devil is just spewing out across this world. And this illusion, it is so bad that you have those that are so confused and sick in their minds that they say their identity is a cat or the opposite gender, or perhaps they say that they are no gender at all. All the while, you have, quote unquote, the church affirming those that are lost and are confused about their identity. I'm referring to those of the alphabet group, if you get my drift. The church feels that they need to be sensitive and not offend anyone. So they use that person of the alphabet group's preferred gender pronouns. When in fact, the church, they aren't being sensitive to them. Instead, they're actually harming them by refusing to tell them the truth in love. And I tell you, it's not rocket science. In fact, it is something so simple and so easy that even a child can understand it. In Genesis, it says that he created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind. Think about this. To call someone by another gender than what they are and what they were born with is actually offensive to God. So we need to not be so scared about offending the lost and more concerned about not offending our God, the creator of the universe, the creator of you and I. We need to be able to speak the truth in love. And it's not offensive. It truly isn't. They need to hear the truth. They need to know and not be so confused and just bombarded with what they hear in the world, what they see, and who they think they are. They need to know the truth, and we need to be able to speak it in love. The Bible says in the book of Genesis that all men and women are created in the image of God. Humankind was created to reflect some of God's attributes. You can look for your identity anywhere. But if you are a follower of Christ, you are called to find your identity in Him. Your life is to be defined by Christ, not what the world is trying to make us believe we are. We don't need to listen to the lies of the devil and these illusions that he's spewing out and that he's trying to bombard us with. It's that simple. You are a child of God. He has created us male and female to reflect His image, not an image of a cat or some animal or a different gender. And remember this. This is very important. You are His first. You are a child of God before you are a mother, before you are a father. You are a child of God before you are a grandparent, an aunt or an uncle or a sister or brother. And I'm telling you that there is a serious attack on the identity of God's people. Satan wants to confuse us. And a lot of the church, unfortunately, doesn't realize it, or they don't want to believe it. They're under that illusion that everything is fine. And some have slowly allowed the lies of Satan to creep in and to corrupt their minds and to doubt who they are in Christ. Just as in the Garden of Eden, you know, where Satan was whispering those lies. But when you allow doubt to creep in, that is just a doorway for Satan to come and torment the people of God. And you begin to truly believe the labels that society has called you, that society has placed on you. Oh, you're OCD. Oh, I am so depressed. Oh, I'm ADD. Rather than your true identity, which is a child of God. There are a few things that I want us to look at. So the Word of God says that there are a few things that the Word of God says which we are to base our identity on. And one of the first ones that I want us to turn to is in John chapter 1, verse 12. God, He says that you are a child of God. We'll look at this a little bit further. It says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. Being a child of God means that we are partakers of all that He is. And the part where it says He gave the right, right actually means we have authority. And Strong says that the authority or the right to act. So it's something that God has given us. We have that ability. We have that authority that is God's. He has given it to us. When we've been adopted into His family, then we are heirs with Him. Because of that, it's through Him we have his spiritual authority, the right to act or to trample on every demon from hell. And that also means every promise in the book, in this book, is for you. And if you'll also turn to Galatians chapter 3, verses 29, 4 through 7, or chapter 29, and then to 4, chapter 4, verses all the way down to verse 7. And it says, "And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, we are in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." God is so wonderful. In today's world, you know, we have adoptions. And yes, when you adopt a child, you claim them as your own. But it's not the same as when we become children of God, because it is through the blood of Jesus that we are being able to partake in everything that he is. It's not just something that's on a paper. It is by his blood we are his. And so, and with that, we have spiritual authority. We have that authority that God has given his Son. He has given it to us to be able to conquer everything that we need. And he has given us everything that we need to be able to get through every battle. And the second one, God says that you are a new creation. And if you'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." God didn't send his Son to die for us so we could still be bound by the chains of this life. He did that so that you would be free. This is what this verse means. If Christ is in me, I am a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away, and I have been made new. You have been given a new mind. You have been given a new heart. He has given you a new name, beloved. You must believe it. He doesn't remember our past, and he definitely doesn't hold it against us. And if you're holding on to any past shame or guilt, just remember, that's the enemy of your soul trying to keep you down. And the third one, God also says, "For we are more than conquerors through Christ." And if you'll turn to Romans 8, verse 37, it says, "Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Christ's love conquered death. And because of his love, we are more than conquerors. When he died, he took back the keys of death and hell. There is nothing that can conquer us. You have to remember this. Now, these are just a few things that the Word of God tells us. You know, if you look in your Bibles, there are more things that God tells us who we are. But these are the few key points that the Lord wants us to look at and to expound upon more. But I also want us to look in Luke chapter 15. And we're going to read verses 11 through 16. Most of us know the parable of the lost son. Now, this parable, it's such a great reminder for us of who we are in Christ and how he sees us. So, and in verse 11, it says, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that has fallen to me.' So he divided them, his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living," with wasteful living, in other words. "But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that swine ate, and no one had given him anything." So he was blinded by the desires of this world. This confusion, this illusion that we are experiencing today, this young man was also experiencing. He got consumed or sidetracked and wanted to experience life, what life had to offer. Once he left, it was as though he had blinders on, and he had no sense of his father's presence. But now I want to talk to you a little bit about blinders. I don't know about you, but I can be a light sleeper, and any little light in the room, it wakes me up. My husband has to go through the room, tape up little lights, and cover up lights so I don't wake up, because I guess my eyelids are thin like paper. But so we recently went camping, and so I've been camping before, and the light from the moon would keep me awake at night, and it made the trip not very comforting, I guess. I mean, it wasn't very enjoyable because I got like no sleep. So before this road trip, before we went camping, I was like, I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to get an eye mask. I've tried eye masks before. They did not do very well. They'd come off in the night, and it just was very frustrating to get tangled in my hair. But they've come a long ways. Nowadays, they make them so that they have nice cushion memory foam around the eye sockets, and really nice soft elastic bands so they don't get tangled up in your hair. And they're very dark. But nonetheless, when we went camping, it worked. And it worked so well that one morning I had it on. John came up to me and he was tapping my my eye mask, "Mama, Mama." And I was like, it was like 7:30 in the morning. Now, if I hadn't had that eye mask on, I would have been awake at like 5 or 4:30 when the sun was coming up. But that eye mask, it worked so well. I was just amazed. But then once you take it off, it's like you're just bombarded with this light. You're in shock. You're like, oh my gosh, it's so bright. But I like it, and I don't use it now, but after we went camping, I used it every morning, and I'd sleep until about 7:30 when I'd normally wake up at around 5:30. And even in the wintertime. But you see, the eye mask is like a blindfold, and we begin to wear and become desensitized to the things happening around us. And that's what the devil wants. The little god of this world wants to cause confusion and sleepiness, cause you to question who you are, cause you to doubt what you believe, cause you to even be silent. He wants to cause you to doubt the power of Almighty God. And the devil wants to cause you to doubt your true identity, who you are in Christ. We are to remember that this is not attack on us, but it's actually attack on God himself. And he wants to cause you to become sleepy. And the devil wants to cause you to be lazy and tired in your walk. And he's the one that is causing the tiredness in you. You become so consumed and bombarded by all the headlines you read and hear in the news that it's causing a tiredness amongst God's people. We begin to lose focus of who God truly is, and we allow doubt to creep in. But God says, no more! No more! Take off the eye mask! Arise from your slumber! Arise from your weariness, from the heaviness of the things that are going on in this world. All these things must come to pass. Remember, I have overcome the world. I have already overcome it. I am coming back, and I am coming back soon. Arise from your slumber. Arise from your sleepiness. Keep looking up, for your redemption draws near. I am coming back soon, and I am looking for a bride who is without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. I'm looking for a bride who is looking for me. A bride who is ready for his groom. Don't lose sight of who I am, says the Lord. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. The devil has no power over you. You are mine, says the Lord. Do you trust me? Do you trust me, says the Lord. Don't allow the God of this world to cause you to doubt or to put fear in you or to doubt who you are in Christ. All those thoughts, those tormenting thoughts, the fear that binds you and holds you captive, he asks, do you trust me? I at times allow these difficult seasons. Seasons of heaviness to come over you. Seasons of heaviness to come your way. To draw you unto myself. So that you can see you can't rely on your own strength. You can't rely on someone else's strength or someone else's words to get you through. I allow these difficult seasons to come so that it will bring you to the comfort that you can only get from me. So that you can comfort others through the comfort that you will receive directly from the hand of God. God says that I am going to give you what you need. You see, the prodigal son, after he left his father's house, he thought he could make it on his own. Mind you, he had his father's money, but we know he blew that so quick, and he was left trying to make it on his own. He worked in a farm. And he even desired the food that the pigs, that the swine were eating. But he remembered that his servants at his father's house had better food than that. In verses 17 through 19 in Luke, it says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. You see, he finally came to the end of himself, trying to make it on his own strength, trying to fix his own problems. That when he went back to his father's, that he went back to his father's house. And what happened when he came back? If you look at verse 20, it says, he arose and came back to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell at his neck and kissed him. Well, his father, even before his son made it close to the house, his father had seen him in the far distance. He was looking for him and waiting for the return of his son. Once he saw him, he didn't wait for him to come make it inside the home. No, he ran. He ran and he embraced him. That right there just shows how quick God's mercy is for us. The son was coming slowly and under a burden of shame and fear. Perhaps you feel as though the prodigal son felt. You're under a heavy burden. You feel as though you need to carry it on your own, or of past shame, or you're battling fear, or your depression, or anxiety, and you feel as though God can't hear you. You're turning to your own understanding. the understanding of man rather than mine, says the Lord. If you lean on your own understanding, you will always have this fight, this inner war going on inside of you. I have called you to live by faith. This inner war going on inside of you, he says, he has called you to live by faith. You must trust him. Trust him all the days of your life. But you have weakened in a moment. You gave place to those thoughts. The devil is after God's people all the time. None of us are beyond an attack from the devil. We are all open prey to the thoughts of the enemy. Our own hearts, without the Lord, are weak. And the moment that we give place to that thought and move away from faith, fear comes in. Fear comes into the heart. And in John 1, chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." That love that he's speaking about is God's love. If you aren't residing in the love of God, that compassionate love of God that says, "I will give you what you need. You will not starve. Don't receive an evil report. I've given you something that can't be taken away from you." He said, perfect love casts out fear, because fear is torment. And the word torment in the original text means an expectation of disaster. Fear brings an expectation of disaster. The moment we're out of the sense of God's love and provision, that is when fear creeps in. He said that he that fears is not made perfect in love. In other words, he that fears is not reminded or has not remained in the place of trust. He has not remained in the absolute and perfect love that God has for him. Don't allow the devil to keep you down. Because trust me, he will try. He will come against you and try to keep you down with everything that he's got. Because listen to this. Because more than you do, the devil knows the threat that you are to his kingdom. He will mock you and he will repeat those lies in your head. "Oh, don't you know that I'm the dominant voice today? You have no power. Why do you think you can't get up out of bed and fight? You can't fight. Just stay home. Don't go to church. It's easier." We need to wake up. We need to get up and fight and put on the armor of God. We are warriors in Christ. Jesus has already won the battle. You got to remember that. Remember, the battle that you're going through has already been won. It's already been won. You just must trust in your heavenly Father. Remember, you need to tell Satan that you are a child of God and that he has bought you by his blood and he has no authority over you. No authority. Jesus has conquered death and hell. He took back the keys of hell. There is nothing that the devil can do to you. You are a child of God. And the devil cannot take you out of the hand of God. He can't. There is nothing that he can do to you. You've got to get it into your mind, into your soul, out of your mind actually, and deep into your soul. This is something you have to believe without a shadow of a doubt. Just like Noah and the ark, God protected them from the flood and total destruction on the earth. And just like the Israelites, what did he do? God delivered them. He delivered them out of slavery. He had them walk through on dry land. He parted the sea so they could walk on dry land. And just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he was in the fire with them. Do you believe? Peter was locked up in prison and bound with chains, but God sent angels to set him free. He walked through those prison doors a free man. These aren't just words on a page. They're not something that are made. These aren't just made up stories. He did it for them. What makes you think he won't do it for you? You are his. God's grace is sufficient for you. And yes, there are storms that are coming. for every believer, but you have to remember whether you are walking closely with Him or not. Every believer will have a storm to walk through, but He says, "My strength is made perfect in your weakness." He will supply all that you need. All you must do is trust. Trust Him. Trust Him to supply all the strength that you will need. Trust Him to supply every finance you need. Trust Him to protect you and your children. He is our hiding place. He will supply everything that you will ever need and make it through any storm. All you have to do is trust Him. So, I want to give you a couple of things that will help you weather a storm, that will help you get through a battle. Or even if you're not going through a battle, it's going to help you prepare for one. So, a couple of things in my walk with the Lord that I have discovered is memorizing scripture. That is not a very common thing today. A lot of people are like, "Oh, that seems like a daunting task to do." But I can tell you, if John, who is a six-year-old, can do it, you most certainly can. In our homeschooling lessons last year, he memorized a scripture for each letter of the alphabet. And a couple of them were actually about fear, and they were his F verse and his W verse. And he, if you ask him, he'll tell you what those are. But sometimes at night he gets sprayed. He gets scared. And so, and I remind him, "John, what are your memory verses? What's your W verse?" And it's, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." And his F verse, "Fear not, for I am with you." And after he says those verses and we pray, that fear is gone. It's the word of God that has power to trample on scorpions and on the devil. The word of God is our sword. It's how we are going to defeat these battles. So I can tell you, memorizing scripture, even though it might be daunting to you, it is something that I would encourage you to do. And another thing, when you're feeling down, some might not agree with me, but yes, songs are nice, but they can't replace the word of God. They are good, you know, for in a moment when you're going through the day and you can't get to the word and you can't read your Bible, because they are good reminders of God's love for us and his provision for us. But you have to be in the word daily. Songs cannot replace the word of God. There is nothing that can replace the word of God. And that's how he speaks to you and I. And there was a time when I was going through a big battle in my life for my children. And it was one night when I was asleep in bed. The kids were already asleep. But I felt this heaviness. And it wasn't like a presence of the Lord. It wasn't like joyful or anything. But it was a heaviness, and it was like a darkness. I was like, I could just feel it like press on me. I'm like, "What is this?" And just that day, I had read earlier in John, I had read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made." When I felt that presence, I sensed that I knew that it wasn't the Lord. And I got up, and I was afraid. I was fearful. I was like trembling, like, "What is going on here? This isn't right." And I remembered this verse, part 3, where it says, "All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made." If I had not read my Bible that day, that morning, I wouldn't have had this verse in my mind to be able to tell Satan and rebuke him to get out. I spoke that verse to him and I said, "You get out of my house, you get out of here, you have no authority over me." It's taking the word of God and using your spiritual authority that God has bestowed upon you that He has given to you because you are a child of God. You have to fully grasp it and believe it. Not just to understand it in your head, but you have to believe it in your spirit that you are a child of God. And that it is His authority that He has bestowed upon you to be able to conquer and defeat Satan. He's already won these battles for us. But back in Luke, we're going to finish our story here of the lost son. And in verse 21, before I read that, so to be able to stand in the days ahead and what's to come, even just the day-to-day struggles and battles, you have to know who you are in Christ. You have to get it out of your mind and deep into your soul and truly believe that you are a child of God, that you are heirs with Him, just as with the lost son. So in verse 21, it says, "And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son." If you've doubted God or haven't fully trusted Him, all you have to do is turn to Him and ask Him to forgive you. It's that simple, just like the prodigal son did. He came to the end of himself and he realized, you know what? I can't do this on my own. And he went back and his father embraced him. He was looking for him. He ran to him and he showed him mercy. That is how our God is with us. In verse 22 through 24, it says, "But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and sandal on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let them eat and be merry. For this, my son, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. The father didn't remind him of his past failures. He didn't remind him of what he had done, about wasting all of his inheritance. He didn't do that. Instead, what did he do? He placed the ring of authority onto his hand. He placed a robe of protection, of righteousness, and of royalty around him. He placed sandals on his feet. Sandals represented a free man. He was free. He placed sandals on his feet, sandals to protect him and to guide him. Are you persuaded? Do you trust Him? You must believe that. God will just embrace you quickly into His arms. He's not going to bring up your past failures. He wants you to know who you are in Him. He's not going to bring up any past failures. If you'll turn to Romans 8:38 and 39, it says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I am persuaded. I don't know about you, but persuaded means it's a confidence. It's an inward trust. It is rooted deep within me. I am persuaded. Are you? Let's go ahead and bow our heads. God, I thank you, Lord, for this word that you have given me today. I pray, Lord, that each and every person, Lord, would be able to walk out of here and have a deep understanding of who you are, Lord God, who they are in you, that they would not allow the fears and the lies of the devil to cause them to not believe who they are in you, but that they would be able to trust you, Lord, and to remember that they are a child of God, and that they have your authority to be able to conquer Satan, and that they have your robe of righteousness, and that they have your sandals of freedom, that we are free, Lord God, that we are no longer bound by chains, Lord God, but that you have set us free, and that we are your children. I pray that each and every person here would go with that in their minds, and they would fully believe it, Lord God. I pray that you would set your people apart and that they would be prepared for the days ahead and that they would fully embrace who they are in you so that we can stand in the days ahead, Lord God. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.